Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Chet Haas from the Android UI Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
And today we have it's like a record. It's like a first.
It is a record.
We have many guests. Three. Starting with
Romain Guy, I work on the Android team.
And Nicolas Roard, also on the Android team.
How generic. Yeah. Okay.
All right. John Hofford on the Android team as well.
Well, we don't really have a name for our sub-team on Android. We're just a small group of people working on a couple of new projects that are graphics and layout related. And the first one's been announced at Google I.O.
Did you phrase it as a ragtag bunch of... Yeah, it's like the rebel. I can hear the Empire music in the background.
Mm-hmm, that's a good summary.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So today...
Well, we're recording this before Google I.O., but... Presumably, we will hold this recording until after Google I.O. So by the time you hear this...
We're like speaking to future us.
Yes.
All right. Hi.
Yeah. And so the big... one of the big announcements we just made at Google I.O. Is...
It went really well, by the way.
Yeah.
Really, really
Kudos.
Well.
Yeah. Great job. is, you know, the revamped layout editor, which we previewed last year. But now, of course, the big star is constraint layout. And so Constraint Layout is this project that actually had started independently of the new layout editor rewrite, and we found out about each other, and it was a very, very happy coincidence. And so now it's basically the default and primary constraint manager inside the layout editor, plus, you know, all the tooling stuff that they built as well that fits perfectly with within what the layout editor does.
Okay, so are we talking about, like, so you're talking about a tool thing, the layout editor, but Constraint Layout is a code thing that runs within the tool?
Yeah, basically, you know, it's a new layout manager. You know, I think about relative layout, but with a lot more flexibility.
I would actually call it relative layout that works.
How about? Can we have more measure passes, too? Is it like relative layout, but with like three or four measure passes?
We're
maybe?
Trying to avoid that.
Yes, okay. I mean, you know well, right? More measure passes, the better.
Yes. All right.
So clearly, that's something we are trying to optimize for.
Okay.
There were two things basically that were important when starting this project. One was to, you know, build something that was more expressive and hopefully easier to use and faster and all of those good things in terms of the layout manager. But we also, from the get-go, thought that having a good UI builder for it was pretty important. The more complex the layout, the more important a good UI builder would be great, you know. And that's why. When we meet with Tor's team, it was a really good match because they wanted to redo this new UI builder. So we just were able to fit just right
I
in.
I mean, we had basically imagined ourselves. We wanted to have this natural layout where you can drag things and it sort of just falls into the place that you wanted. And we thought we would build it on top of grid layout, which, you know, would have been pretty challenging. But we had, you know, it's kind of like how Dreamweaver in the old days would sort of generate tables behind the scenes to try to map intent. And it's been done. You know, there are several successful, you know, UI builders in the swing world that work on top of a grid metaphor.
And it was one of the original intentions with grid layout. It wasn't the easiest thing to hand code. It was really intended to sort of sit behind a tool.
Yes. But it turns out some of the things you really want are, you know, weights, you know, proportional assignment. That's what people use for linear layouts for example, right? And so when you start mixing all these things together, it gets pretty tricky. And so the constraint layout turns out to just be not just a perfect layout manager, but also all the work they put into thinking of how you provide a good design time experience for this is really important. So my favorite part, and I'm sorry, I'm talking more than our guests, but what I really like about it is that when you drag something into the layout editor, it assigns design time bounds. So, you know, in our relative layout support, you know, you drag something into the middle of the canvas, it's going to jump right back to the top because there's no constraint there. You can't just leave it at 52 pixels, 48 pixels. There's no constraint, right? Unless we put in margins, which would be wrong too. So there you sort of have to drag until you get an actual constraint, and then, well, there it is. Whereas with the UI on top of constraint layout, you can drag it anywhere you want, and it sort of sits there exactly where you dropped it. And now you can go ahead and add other constraints if you want, or... And we should maybe get to the other part here. Guests?
Just before we get to the other part, I think like one of the key insights behind...
So just hold that thought. There's another thought. Yes.
One of the key insights behind constraint layout is that it was really designed and implemented with a tool in mind. You can use it from code, but we're not trying to make it a, you know, the best experience possible. Like the API is really meant to be used by the tool. And so like 90% of the work or more is actually spent on the tool and not the layout itself.
Yeah, we did a lot of iterations on the tool and really trying to focus on a great user experience. And I mean, it's not like the using it as you are, you know, as an Android developer, you are used to just using it via XML. You can do that. It's not that horrible. It's basically kind of what you do with relative layout.
I would not recommend
is that the tool and the effort that the iteration we you know all this work we've been doing on the UI builder really makes the whole experience a lot faster than doing it via XML. And not only is it easier to use and easier to see where you are with the layout, it's also helping you at setting the right constraints. And so it's not just setting the attributes and the ease of use of setting the attributes. It's also that the tool will prevent you to do stupid stuff, for example.
Right, detecting cycles and constraints, things like that.
For example, yeah.
Is that what we're calling it then, the preventing you from doing stupid stuff layout editor?
That's the internal code name.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe there's an acronym. I can't think through the acronym right now.
But I just want to get back to the point you had about, you know, how you could write this from code. I think some of the layout managers back in the swing days were really sort of going to either extreme, right? So you had grid bag layout, which we all remember fondly.
Actually, John is a big fan of grid bag layout.
Yeah, fondly, or some F word, I can't remember. You know, and that one was really expressive, but the code was horrible, right? And then you had, on the other extreme, several third-party libraries that did a really good job where the code is very clean, but it's almost like you provide string definitions, and you're sort of just listing the column lists, and the code looks pretty clean. But it really, you know, doesn't really lend itself to UI building. And I think you've probably gone to the extreme here of making the thing really powerful for tools, not really worrying so much about, hey, would I set this up in code?
Yeah, I guess it's not like we went out of our way of making the experience in XML horrible, but it's not like it was the main our main concern. We really focused on the tool.
Right, so a lot of users of Android Studio used the layout editor really in XML mode. And that's A, because our old layout editor was terrible, but B, because it was sort of, you know, just faster to crank out the attributes by hand. We're hoping that the new layout editor is going to make it so that why would you do this by hand?
Yeah, before we get to the going faster part, like I think what's interesting is a lot of the work that John and Nicola have been doing in the tool itself is not actually about the layout, but it's about the interaction with the designer. So something I love about the new constraint layout is that when you're in the editor and you start creating constraints, they have this library that's just the solver part of the layout. They run it on the desktop, so they can run it at 60 frames per second. So everything animates into place. You know, when you use relative layout or even linear layout in the design tool right now, when you move a widget, suddenly it jumps to the new position and the whole screen might change and you don't really understand why and what's going on. And here, because you see anything smoothly animate to their target position, it's easy to learn the tool, to learn the layout. It makes things so much nicer to use on a day-to-day basis.
If you are used to other UI builders that you may have used in the past, I'm not aware of any that actually used animations as much as we try to use them. And really, the intent is not to make animation because it's cool.
Wait,
although
what?
It is, but all right. You know, it's we really try to use the animation as a tool, as a pedagogical tool. You know, to help the user understand the underlying model. And try to show in advance what's going to happen if you do that connection, if you apply this constraint, what will happen before you even do it, you know? And we focus. That's also why we spent a lot of time doing those interaction and trying to improve on that model.
Right. So as an example, if you haven't played with it, when you move the mouse, when you start dragging a connection, anytime you move the mouse over a target port, it just sort of animates in place what that constraint would do. And if you continue moving the mouse and the constraint goes away, well, then it moves back, right? Yeah. So you sort of have a sense of, oh, that's what it'll do as you're dragging before you commit to the drag.
So essentially, we're trying to remove surprises from the equation.
I remember using a former layout on a different platform, a former layout editor, where you would do something wrong with the constraints, like you would create like some circular reference thing and then all of the views would snap together up in the upper left. I'd like to see that animation as the engine just has no idea what to do and then just animates the spaghetti mess that you get at the end. And then that would teach me something really horrible about myself.
That's actually, you know, why we really would love to have, you know, GPU shaders available in the tool so we could, you know, make explosions, and, you know, stuff like that.
So I was curious when you said it's there are similarities to relative layout, the ability to, you know, have these associations. I want to place this view relative to that other view. That's kind of the point of relative layout, right? So what is it that constraint layout? So we talked a little bit about the tool, but what is it that the power of the layout offers?
So the layout itself, we try to keep, so as Roman said earlier, the underlying implementation use a solver for a system of linear equations. So in fact, fundamentally, we could do a lot of things. But what we try to build is on top of that pretty generic solver, we try to build a layer of constraints, a model of constraints, if you want, that is still pretty simple and pretty similar to relative layout. You can typically set a constraint from, let's say that this widget is going to be at 100 dips from that other widget side, stuff like that, something you could do with relative layout. Where we go further is that those constraints can be also used to basically represent more like a weight thing, where the position of the widget will depend on the outer connections. I mean, not sure if I explained very well, but basically...
You're using hand gestures, which I think help a lot.
So maybe kind of we translate badly on
we
a,
can
on
put
a
out
podcast.
A visual
so something interesting is because we use... There's actual real science behind it. I don't remember, what's the name of the author of the original paper again?
The Cassowary...
Cassowary solver.
Implementation, yeah.
So inside we have this solver of equations, and we could inject anything we want. So we could let users, if we wanted to, enter math expressions as constraints for their widgets, and we could let them, you know, arrange things in circles. You could make the width of a widget be a fraction of the padding of another widget. And
you can make the Y position related to the third letter in the text, right?
Yes. No. So yeah, we could do anything, and the hard work was, what could we do that would make sense in a UI? But what's very interesting for us is that in the future, adding new features to this layout will be super easy. Like, that's what I said earlier. We don't really touch the Android layout itself, because there's just this generic solver that works, and all the work goes in the tool. So we could expand the features to, you know, greater...
And so that's why we try to, at least for this first release, to have a model that is very, very simple. So to... Just to make it maybe clearer to the listeners, you can set a constraint and basically like a position relative to another widget on each side of the widget. So you could say this widget is on top of this other one with a certain margin.
And you do that just by dragging from one to the other, right?
Yes. But you could also position a widget, let's say, at 50% between two widgets. So that's something that, for example, relative layout doesn't do. You could also set up the ratio of the dimension of a widget. So there's various things we could do. And we've tried to start with a model pretty simple for now that's still pretty expressive. But as Romain say, we have the underlying capability of going much further than that. And we have some interesting ideas. But for now, we just wanted to focus on something relatively simple as a model that we could expand later on.
I look forward to the tool in future versions looking more like Mathematica. You just write out the equations.
You're joking, but... We actually
but
thought
they have a prototype.
I was trying.
We actually thought about maybe having a shader language for layouts, where you would be able to express, you know, these kind of definitions. And what's interesting is that if we did do that, instead of extending view group to create new layouts, you would just create rules for this layout. So effectively, you could create almost any layout you want without extending view group anymore. You would just specify the layout rules. Which might be easier, so we should, you know, explore that, see if it's actually better.
But it kind of goes back to, you know, the original thought behind layout managers in Swing, I think, was of course you write your own. Like, you wouldn't reuse a powerful one. You just write one for your layout, and it's very easy. I have three widgets. I want this, this, and this. So just return the coordinates, and that was the thought, that everyone would do it. And it wasn't until later it was sort of discovered that everyone just wanted to have a really powerful one that they instantiated, as opposed to writing their own.
And another thing that's very interesting that we could do, and actually I think Nicolas had a prototype of that, because effectively underneath we have equations, you know, things like the x of this widget has to be equal to the x of this other widget plus 100. We could insert variables in the equations. And so maybe a minimal API on the layout would be, you can set the value of our variable. So you could say that you want the width of a widget to be x times 2, and then you could set x at runtime and maybe animate x. And then we could do very interesting layout-based animations.
You're giving away all the cool feature we're going to demo next year.
Pretty much.
Animations of layout, like one of those things we've told people not to do. Don't animate your layouts.
Yeah. Well, the big difference is that this layout manager allows you to create layouts that are flat in terms of the view hierarchy. So instead of having a very deep view hierarchy because you have like 10, you know, dozens of linear layouts imbricated to do the layout you want, no, you just have one single layout manager. And that, we think, will help a lot in doing animation for layout. Because
you don't have this nested hierarchy of recalculations.
Exactly. So it's kind of like taking the view hierarchy and splitting it apart from the actual layout hierarchy.
Right.
And that's actually one thing that we've been doing. And we just, you know, started some of those ideas, and so what we announced at I/O is it's just the bare minimum of that idea. But basically, what you said at all earlier about the layout manager, where people would just write their own, etc., it did not happen because people like to reuse some specific higher level ideas, you know, to layout stuff. Like for example, on Android, it's like, well, I want to put my stuff into a linear layout so that I know they will be correctly aligned one after the other. And with our layout, sure, you could basically do the same layout manually by setting all those constraints. But we had this idea that you could actually create a group of layers inside that would do the right layout. So in a sense, would create the right equation for our system. And so as a developer, it would feel similar than using linear layout. Apart that at runtime, it doesn't have to appear in the view hierarchy, and you can just generate the right equations. So that makes writing those type of components that will do layout for you faster for us, because we can use higher level concepts, and it, you know, makes it faster at execution as well.
Yeah, we call those virtual view groups. So as far as you can tell in the UI designer, they would behave like a view group, except they just don't exist. They're just a mathematical constraint for the system.
So it gives you the encapsulation that we get from view groups or from separate layouts without the extra overhead in the view hierarchy of these nested things.
Yeah, and I think we will see in the future how it turns out. But I think that having this split between the layout mechanism and the view, the view hierarchies will be really useful and should really help animating, you know, layouts in a very interesting way.
And we had some prototypes. Nicolas prototyped so a linear layout as a virtual view group, a table layout as a virtual view group. And, you know, if those things were to become a reality, and if we ship them, we could even envision the possibility of converting existing layouts to those virtual view groups to basically optimize your application directly.
As one of, so all of that is basically coming in the next few releases. Not everything was ready by I/O, but one of the things that
I was already talking about I/O in the past tense. It's really, you know, it's really showmanship.
God, it was a good profession this year. Yeah. I really enjoyed it, that thing that hasn't happened yet.
I know. We had sun for 3 days. That's amazing.
But one of the things that we do have is the concept of guidelines. And it's very interesting because if you ever try to do UI, I mean, the common way of representing the UI for designers is to, you know, set up guidelines or red lines, depending on what you call them, which are basically
key lines,
you know, something line, right? And this is just to say, okay, we have those bunch of horizontal or vertical lines, and you want your widgets to align with those particular lines. And we can basically translate that concept directly into our layout, and you do end up with a guideline object. And that allows you to easily position your widget according to that guideline object.
And
the beauty of it
clear,
is that it disappears from the view hierarchy. It's just used to set up the system of equation.
Right, so it's an object that exists in the tool at design time. Here's a guideline, but really it just turns into a constraint at runtime.
Exactly.
And the guidelines can be positioned, it can be an absolute value, you know, like 100 dps or 100 pixels on the left, or it can be percentage-based.
Yeah, so I imagine that in a typical dialogue, you would set up, hey, you know, spacing at the top, spacing on the left, right, those could be guidelines, for example.
So we had was it the L or the M release when coordinator layout came out? It was the M release design library, I think. Coordinator layout is this sort of Chrome that the other design library components plug into, and we had the concept of key lines there for the exact same reason, but it's very baked into that specific layout. And it's hard to interact with that in, you know, the descendants of views that you have. You know, it works for what it does, but it's very limited in its functionality. And this takes it a step further, so you can interact with it wherever you are in the layout, but also within the tool itself, which I think is is closer to them, what you need with the interaction with designers. They're going to hand you a mock, and it's going to have these fake yellow lines there, you know, with padding. And key lines or these guidelines are also useful for, you know, well, we've got this 16-dip padding that we want between things, so you can lay out extra lines in there in your UI in the tool and then set the constraints accordingly. Yeah.
Something I'd like to experiment with in the future. So we didn't say that, but constraint layout is an unbundled library. It's not part of the Android framework, so it's available to pretty much anybody. But something I would love to see is, you know, maybe the system, and it's a crazy idea we'd have to prototype first, but maybe the system could inject guidelines into constraint layout by default. So we could have a guideline that's aligned to the left of the action bar icon. And that way, in the design tool, we could surface that. And you know, if you constrain a widget to that guideline, then we would promise that no matter what version of Android you use, no matter what theme you're using, you're going to be aligned correctly with the action bar.
And one of the things that actually Roman prototyped that I thought was really cool, didn't make it for IO, but you know, we have to keep a few things for the next IO, right? Was this ability of taking a Photoshop file and parsing it and extracting the red lines from that Photoshop file that the designer gave us.
They're really giving away
adding
all the secret tonics here.
I know.
but maybe we should publish this after next year's IO.
Oh, we have many other ideas.
You know when they said that they don't have a name for their team? It should be the prototyping team. Yeah. You know, Project Skunk Works.
What Roman mentioned is also very important. The library is going to be available. You know, it's an unbundled library, which means that we should be able to iterate fast. And more importantly, developers won't have to wait for the next version of Android. They can just update their library from Studio, and that's all they need.
Yeah, so by unbundled, to be clear, what that means is that it's a small library that, you know, in Studio, the experience is just, well, actually, we put it in by default in new projects, I think. But if you didn't have it in your project and you drag in one of these things, we just add a Gradle dependency. And now Gradle will go and fetch this library. And it's pretty small. Do you know roughly the size of it?
It's about like 80 kilobytes.
Okay, 80.
So remove one PNG from your application, and you're good to go.
Yes. Or switch to vectors.
Now that we've talked about, you know, all our crazy ideas and maybe future stuff, I'd like to go back to some of the fundamentals and especially what John has been up to. So there are basically three ways of using the tools. We can create constraints manually. So Tor mentioned that. There's also a mode that we call auto-constraint. As when you move your widgets around or when you drop them, we try to infer the constraints that you might want for that widget. And Nicolas can talk in more details about those constraints are a little different from the manual constraints. And there's also this fantastic mode called, you know, inference, where you can just position everything on screen. You click one button, and we create the layout for you. So I think like John should explain more about
One of the things that I liked about the whole pattern of constraints is that it's so powerful that pretty much any layout that you put on the screen, you can come up with a set of constraints that will match to it. So one of the things we did was we designed a whole layout constraint inference engine that can look at all the widgets, decide what constraints to what is resizable, and just automatically define all of them.
Isn't that also called absolute layout?
The real big difference, and that's a good question, the real big difference in this is that when you have a layout in this, it can resize the layout, the fonts and the text can change and with language, etc. So things have to resize in a flexible manner. It's not fixed in size. And that's what this thing gives us.
It's a powerful idea. The idea is that you will use the design tool like you would with absolute layouts. So, or just like what a designer would do in Photoshop. You drop your widgets on screen, you position them, and you're completely free to move them wherever you want, which is not something you can do with the existing layouts. So you move them, you resize them, and once you're happy with the overall look of your mock, effectively, you just press that one button, and it turns into an actual resizable layout, just like if you have been using linear layout or relative layout.
And so that means that you know that, hey, if there's a button in the bottom right, that probably is attached to the bottom and right, not to the top left with a certain distance, for example?
Yeah. It's done through a series of probabilities where you say what are the most likely places things will get constrained to. So if you're in the bottom right-hand corner, if you put a widget in the bottom right-hand corner, well, it's probably constrained to the bottom right-hand corner. If you have a widget that stretches across the screen, it's probably going to resize and be attached to the left and right of the screen. And so we develop a collection of probabilities and then go through a series of heuristics to make the attachments.
So do you have some knowledge of which kinds of widgets tend to stretch and which ones don't?
Right now, we don't use any information about the type of widget. We use what's its minimum size and what is the size you dragged it out to, and use that as a hint into the system as to, is this a widget that needs to be resizable and or stretched to the bounds of the system?
What I find fantastic about this feature as well is it's an iterative process. So once you click that button and it infers all the constraints, you can go tweak the constraints afterwards. And you can click the button a second time or third time. And we've actually seen, you know, we had users testing the system for us. And we've seen people, after dropping one widget on screen, they would hit infer. Then they would drop another widget and infer and drop another widget and infer. So the system, you know, it doesn't freeze your layout in any way. You're still free to do anything you want.
And once I've made those constraints, does it throw them away and do it over again? Or does it like learn from what I've done? Or is it only like infer things that are unconstrained?
Info will only look at what is different from the current, what is needed to finish the current layout. So if you have four constraints already put in, when you hit infer, it will say, oh, I don't need to attach those. I'll attach whatever is left. So at the end of inference, you end up with all the new constraints that you want.
I see. So if I had something that was near the center and you inferred, oh, you must be centered, and I didn't mean that, it just happened to be that size, if I went and changed that constraint, it wouldn't like make that mistake a second time and put it back in the center, because now I've already constrained it to be left with a distance instead.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm imagining a system where you do the magic inference thing and it immediately builds you a UI that plays cat videos. Because it knows that that's probably what you wanted.
I would have to,
that's a future version.
I have to say, if you are listening to this podcast and you haven't seen the inference engine in action, I highly encourage you to look at some of the sessions from I/O showing it.
They were really good.
It's pretty amazing to see it, you know, live.
Or just start your favorite IDE and play with it.
The sad thing about the inference engine is that when it does its job correctly, it's very underwhelming to demo, because so you position all your widgets, you click the button, and everything's still in the same place, except now everything is constrained, so, you know.
But do you at least get, like, an arrow visualization, so you suddenly see?
Or you should have,
an orchestra hit sound. Ta-da!
I think you're underselling it, because those arrows are beautifully painted.
That's really good. Those are beautiful.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. You should actually zoom in. I mean, you were telling me about the tricks you're doing, right? So that when you have two arrows that overlap, you sort of get the overpass effect, right, where the arrow stops right near the, you know, the crossing, and then comes back. And when they're even at an angle, it looks even more pretty. So definitely check it out.
As I said, we spent a lot of time trying to polish this this user UI builder, and, you know, in terms of the interactions, but also in terms of the visual representation, and trying, at least, I'm not sure we completely succeeded, but trying to make it as, you know, readable as possible.
One of the reasons why it's so important to be beautiful is, unlike previous systems where you would have layers of hierarchies, you can build very complex UIs with one flat hierarchy. So you can end up with literally dozens of constraints all over the place, and it has to come together to look beautiful.
So, can it also infer the virtual view groups that we were talking about earlier?
In the future, it will. We don't have them yet. Guidelines will be inferred. So if you put a guideline and you have a widget next to it, it'll say, oh, okay, you obviously wanted to attach to that guideline, and it'll attach it.
And by in the future, he means, you know, they made it work in our prototype.
I'm getting the sense that, like, all of the future stuff that we're talking about has actually worked in, like, a really half-baked kind of way already. Like, somebody did a prototype, proved that it's physically possible to do this thing, and then went back to actually finish
effectively, it. Effectively, yes. I mean, and I think as engineers, we all know the difference between, you know, it takes you a couple hours to prove that something will work, and then it takes you 2 weeks to actually make it work, and then 2 months to make it into a product.
Yep.
And that's, you know, where we are. So we have this backlog of ideas and prototypes that we think are really great. We just need to move them to production.
And one thing I feel is really important is we try to have to really have like a direction where when you use this UI builder, you don't have just one way of using it. You could actually do it in different ways. So you could do all your constraints manually by dragging the arrows and connecting your widgets. Or you could use the infer, or you could use the auto connection, and simply moving a widget will connect to the closest bounds. or you could use a mix of all of three.
You could be typing the XML, which I'm sure some of our users will do.
Yes, we are trying, hoping that you won't do that.
Yeah, every time I build a UI with the constraint layout, John looks at my screen and he's like, that's not how I would do it. Like, yeah, but it works. So there are many ways.
I think it's important, and it's something we will try to carry on. Like you have more than one way to do it, and we saw that in user studies and from our own experience as developers as well. And I think it's really important to keep that and also to keep that in mind as a user. You can do things in different ways. You could do maybe 90% of your layouts using the inference stuff and just fix the little few things you are not happy with.
And it's important that we have all those ways of doing things, because when we try to add those automatic features like the inference engine, you know, it won't be perfect. Sometimes it won't do what you meant, or maybe we have a bug or we miss something. But what we're trying really hard to do is to never break your existing layout. So even if the feature failed to save you, you know, a few minutes of work, you can still keep going. And it's not like we're making you lose time. We just missed an opportunity of saving you time.
And John, maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the ideas you had for future stuff in the inference engine.
Well, one of the things that we would like to prototype and build out is inference of things like tables and other kinds of virtual view groups that we have in mind. In the future, you can imagine, oh, that looks like a table, so the inference will make it into a table and put it in columns and rows. Oh, that looks like a linear layout, so we'll make a virtual linear layout.
Or maybe, hey, that looks like a list. Let me make an item layout and put a recycler view around it.
Or it looks like a relative layout. Why don't we delete that?
Well, the other thing that's kind of exciting for longer term that we haven't prototyped yet is where you can import an image and then we can infer all the widgets that it sees in that image and, you know, OCR the text and sort of taking from a single image and then just producing a whole new UI.
Well, we have a prototype of that with Photoshop files. We can turn the layers into, you know, image views and text views and get the font size and the drop shadows.
But I think 2017 keynote's going to be super cool.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
But I think you had some ideas as well of being able to see how actual developers use the inference engine to use that to make it even better in the future.
In the long term, all of the probability engines inside of it can be tweaked and enhanced based on collecting data from users. So we hope in the future to be able to instrument Android Studio, see what people are doing and what they're laying out, and learn from their layouts what they're doing, sort of using big data and some sort of neural net.
Do we make sure to exclude Chet's layouts from the data set?
Well, to be clear, we would only do that for people who had agreed.
Yes,
so, obviously. Don't worry.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
But I think that touched an interesting problem, is that the difficulty with the inference is that we can, you know, because the system is really flexible enough, you can probably find constraints that will result in more or less the same position that you are. But actually, you know, you may have like two or three different ways of doing that. So which one do you pick? And that's where John's engine comes in, because he's going to say, well, I've got those different possibilities and let me pick the best one. But he's also aware that if we could gather more knowledge, we would maybe be able to do a better job.
I was going to suggest another related feature too. If you could have a button that was called interference, and then you could just redesign the UI in a different way because you objected to the way it was being done.
Well, we may have thought about doing things like that.
Practical matter. So it's going to be in the tool. It's going to be easy to, I guess it's going to be in the built-in templates.
No. We shipped it at I/O, remember?
I meant past tense.
It's a preview.
So we shipped a 2.2 preview
2.2.
At I/O.
Okay.
Android Studio 2.2.
Yep. And, you know, we're continuing to iterate. So people who are in the Canary channel will continue to see improvements.
Okay.
I should probably mention there's a bunch of other changes. So obviously constraint layout is, you know, the big star of the new layout editor, but there's all these other things we've done too. So for example, where you used to have a preview mode in the XML editor, that is now a full-blown layout editor. So we re-architected it so that we can use it, you know, in both contexts. So, you know, you can look at your XML and start dragging around if you want. A lot of the widgets have been rewritten. So, for example, in the palette, you can just start typing the name of the widget you're looking for. It'll filter like it does in the rest of IntelliJ, and you can just drag from there. There's blueprint mode, which, of course, is very important in constraint layout, but it works in other modes too. So even your linear layout, you can see the structure. So there's a bunch of other general enhancements in the layout editor for people to play with.
I was going to ask, too, how it integrates with existing stuff. So obviously, you know, once you want to use the new tool in constraint layout, that's all you want to do. But you may have existing layouts that were sort of carefully tweaked.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
it possible to then bring those in sort of wholesale and still arrange them in the layout editor?
Yes or no. So if you just open up your layout and it's a relative layout, that'll work because the new layout editor supports relative layout. So you'll get the same, pretty much the exact same behavior you had in the past. If you're asking, hey, can I migrate that? Even in our old Eclipse layout editor, we had this morphing concept where you can say, I want to go from this layout to that layout, right? So where we applied some heuristics when possible. We would like to maybe build that for this as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if that showed up in the preview at some point.
I was thinking more on a fine-grained level, like you have a layout design that is, you know, going to be inflated at runtime that defines this sub portion, right? So you have a smaller part of your screen, your overall layout that has, you know, all the buttons and text arranged very carefully that you don't want to change. Can you integrate that into a constraint layout?
Yeah, I think Tor is actually selling the new editor a bit short because, yes, of course, you know, we have this new mod for the constraint layout and this new layout manager for constraint layout that we love and we are hoping you will love as well. But the new editor is really cool. I mean, even if you do not want to use constraint layout, I really encourage you to go open the new version of Studio and play with the new editor. It's actually looking like a real editor now.
We burned old bridges. We deleted the old one. So
in 2.2,
yes, it was my favorite CL at this point. So we have a new layout editor. It's the one we showed at I/O last year. But last year, you know, it was about 2 months old. Now it's a year and 2 months old.
And do you constantly pop up a dialogue that says, wouldn't you rather use constraint layout? Wouldn't you rather use constraint layout?
I'm thinking maybe like a small avatar in the corner of your screen.
Maybe we also need the interference button. It just converts everything to constraint layout.
Yep. Have you looked at performance yet, sort of at runtime? What is the so we talked about the size, 80K, right? But, you know, number, like, well, the method count that it counts against the 64K method limit. And, like, is this layout suitable for using in a recycler view as an item layout? Like, is it low cost enough that it can be used for things like that?
It's pretty low cost. I mean, we had a couple of metrics that we had in mind while designing this. And, you know, one was effectively the size of the library. If we wanted to be a library you could just put in your project at any time, it needed to be small. The nice consequence is that if it is small, well, we do not have a lot of classes or methods, so that should not impact you too much. The memory impact of using that library was also important. And we reduced it pretty drastically. So that also should not be an issue. Left is performances. Well, our current test shows something roughly equal, maybe a bit better than relative layout.
And to be clear, it's comparable to relative layout, actually, or faster in the case of having no nested layouts. So typically, even with a relative layout, you end up nesting layouts where you don't need that as much or at all with constraint layout. So we expect much of the gains to come from there.
Yeah. So if you add an equivalent layout in relative layout and you port it to constraint layout, the performances should be relatively similar. If you do not use a lot of widgets, which is typically the case when you are doing like a row on a recycled view, for instance, might even be faster. We feel that where the big gains are going to come in is where before you had to have a very deep hierarchies of layout to do your layout. Now you'll be able to, in many cases, just use one layout. And that should actually help things a lot.
And there are many things we haven't done for performance yet. Yeah. So we did the first pass of performance improvements. We did a lot of profiling. We know there are still a lot of things we can improve. You know, it's internal data structures, some of the algorithms maybe. The linear system can be solved incrementally. That's not done yet. We could multi-thread, we could go native. So
we have a nice headway in front of us to improve things. So, it was important to release the first version to also gather the feedback of developers.
Well, I think I've seen a lot of people actually use Recycler View for item layouts, you know, if you're going to have a couple of rows in each item. So Recycler View, like it seems you could replace it already.
Yeah, so one of the tests that Nicolas wrote was a Recycler View where every item was a constraint layout, and we were testing that on a Nexus 4, which you know is still a great phone, but it's now many years old, like 3 years old or more. And the performance the layout was not the bottleneck by any means.
That was the one example where I actually was injecting values at runtime that I animated, so it was also animating the layout on the fly, and that was working perfectly fine on a Nexus 4.
At 60 FPS.
So performance is important, and layout performance is even more, but it does also depend on what you do. You know, depending on your needs, you might not even realize that there might be an issue. We know, because we wrote it, that we know we could actually improve things a lot, and we are looking forward to do that.
It's also something we might be able to take care of in the tools. Because of the constraint system, you could create a layout that has more constraints than it needs. And so it should be potentially, maybe, possibly, perhaps possible to analyze an existing layout and just optimize it for you.
Also, maybe your inference button, instead of adding arrows, can actually remove arrows. Yeah.
There are a lot of cases where two layouts are identical, equivalent, but one would have better performance than the other. If you have certain deep chains of connections, you can end up with a slower layout. Our hope is in the future we'll have an optimizing pass that can say, oh, let's correct for all of these things. Let's do some optimization and make it a more efficient layout.
And I just now remembered a feature that actually helps constraint layout, but it's in the new layout editor. And that is, you know, in the old layout editor, you would always choose a device to preview. Like you could choose between Nexus 4, 5, 7 to sort of control the screen size. Well, in the new layout editor, we actually can let you just resize the screen on the fly. Whenever it snaps away from the current size, it'll switch the device name to custom, because now you're faking your own crazy device. But this lets you pretty quickly go and try your layout, so you can sort of see if your constraints are equivalent and how they behave when you get to different sizes.
Yeah, and we haven't talked not much about the blueprint mode in the new UI builder, but that's, so if you haven't tried the new studio, you have like a visual representation of your application or your layout that looks basically like what you see on your phone. But you can also switch to a slightly different mode that draw the elements like a blueprint. And we did that because that allowed us in that blueprint mode to remove some things that you do not need particularly, and reversely to show stuff that you care very much, but in the normal mode would be hard to read. And for the constraint layouts particularly, this is really useful because a lot of those constraints, we really needed to clean up the visualization, and the blueprint mode allows us to do that. And with the resizing capabilities, that really is really, really nice to just play with the layout and see how it behaves with different form factors.
Yeah, and we actually expect developers to use the blueprint mode to create constraint layouts. You can in the design, in the preview mode, but it was really intended to be used in blueprint mode, so we can show you more information.
I want a cat video mode where it's just playing the cat videos the whole time you're playing with it. I think that's useful. Could you take a note on that?
All right,
we'll get right on it.
We'll
after.
Put the Exo player into the studio and map and hook it up to YouTube for you.
Okay.
As soon as we're done with all the other features, we'll take care of it.
Okay, excellent. That'll be soon. I was working. I stopped listening about halfway through this podcast, and I worked on the project name. So I think it's going to be called Piftacillo, and that's preventing you from doing stupid stuff layout editor. So you can. We should go to trademark now. So cool. I'm looking forward to Piftacillo. No, I'm not looking forward to it. We saw it already last week, and it was awesome. So nice job.
Well, we saw it, but you know, people can actually use it right now.
Yay, 2.2 and forward. All right. Any other details? Seems like we immediately started talking about future. Did we cover all the present?
Tal, can you tell us what people need to do to actually try it?
I'm thinking that 98 to 99% of our users are already Android Studio users, I would think. But if that's
Let's
not
take
true,
a poll.
If
everybody in the audience,
if you are the 1% who is not using Android Studio,
this is probably the reason to start.
Yeah,
right here.
This is the reason.
Everything else that we've been doing to date, nothing.
So many other good things too.
Constraint layout. This is the one.
Yeah, this is really good. So just make sure you have the latest Studio, you know, either create a new project. I think at least, you know, I think the build was shipped a week ago. It's the default. So you make a new layout, you get constraint layout. And if not, you can always drag it in or make a new layout and constraint layout. We have it in the palette. So just dragging it in will automatically add the right dependency into your project. That's a general feature. So if you pull in something from the design library, you get that. If you pull in a recycle view, you get the recycle view library. So that's all you have to do. And then hopefully the rest is super intuitive. You shouldn't really need to watch a tutorial because it should be self-documenting.
That is true. We do encourage you to watch the talk that John and Nicola have given at I/O because it is intuitive, but there are many advanced features that will, you know, make you very productive throughout the day, and you will need to learn about them. It's kind of like, you know, any IDE or Photoshop, any complex tool. There are all those advanced features that are not immediately obvious that will make your life better.
Yeah, in fact, we had a long studio session at I/O too, where we sort of cover expert topics, similar to the Dev Summit talk, where we sort of go through the things that we know are there that people aren't using. Just the other day, I was debugging something in the layout editor, and I had all these objects that look the same in the debugger. And being able to mark an object, so you right-click and say, mark this, and you put a label on it, so that anywhere it shows up as you're drilling the destruction, suddenly you see a red label on that object. It's so helpful. And those are the kind of features that have been there that people don't know about them. So we find it always very useful to go back and cover, here's what you should know. For some people, it's really boring because they've seen it, but there's every talk pretty much is someone who's like, oh, I didn't know that. I know Zav was always shocked, you know, at our early I/O talks because I would present something that everyone should know, but he's like, why are they clapping? That's been there for 6 months.
Okay, so actually to be more particular about the talks that already happened at I/O, so there's a What's New in Android development tools or something, right? Is that the one you're talking about with the power features?
Yeah, that's the you know, I like to call it the tools keynote.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. No, that's not the one. That's the one where we cover what's new.
Okay.
Right?
And
so
then
we'll
there's another power features one.
And then we have a power features one.
Called?
Something about advanced topics or something. I don't remember.
Okay.
But,
so
you know,
I'm just saying, like, by the time people hear this, these will probably be posted on YouTube, so they should check out those
two.
There's
a tool about the constraint layout itself, and we do not know yet what it's going to be called, but the audience will know because it will already have happened.
Yeah. Android
Piftus. Aren't you two also doing a talk, you know, like in the old days?
It was fantastic.
The framework keynote?
The what's new in Android. Us two and Dan Sandler.
And I will demo constraint layout live during that talk.
Excellent.
We have to do it.
Because it already happened.
Because it's already happened.
Looking forward to that having happened.
And one more thing. So if you do download the Android Studio 2.2 preview and you try constraint layout, please file bugs, give us feedback. It's a fairly complex tool in terms of implementation, and we know that, you know, some things are not quite finished yet. There will most likely be bugs. And we need the experience of all the Android developers out there to tell us, like, what features they need, how do they use the tool, what can we do better. So b.android.com, we'll be watching the bug tracker.
Or just help submit feedback in the IDE that opens up the browser with the right, you know, URL plus the right subcomponent.
Or just make mean comments on the YouTube videos. Isn't that what people do generally?
Yes, that's why
really
we stopped
helpful.
Treating them, right?
Yeah, it's very depressing.
Probably not a good way to get our attention. Okay, cool. Anything else? Then I think we're done.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.